I've said this before, but I just want to remind you guys, like, these guys don't get together and practice during the week. We have no place to meet. We meet in a school, right? And so they get up here an hour before and run through this. So, and we just lost our worship leader, right? And so they're stepping up and doing this with a big shift, and because Brad is leaving us, ridiculous. So can we just give them a round of applause? Thanks, guys. Because wasn't that just good today? That was good. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew 28. That's where we're going to be today. And if you weren't with us last week, we're right in the middle of a series called Core Values. It's actually just a two-week series, and we wanted to talk about who we are and where we're going and why we do the things that we do. So if you weren't here last week, we talked about our two core values. Now, before I get to that, though, we talked about our mission statement last week, too, right? That most of us that have been coming here for any amount of time know why we exist. So somebody do me a favor, loudly, like you're a preacher, shout out. What's our mission statement in our church? Right, glorify God and advance the gospel. That's been ingrained in you guys. But what I want to start doing is ingraining our core values in you guys too, because glorify God and advance the gospel sounds really good if we know how to do that and how we're going to accomplish that and how we're going to move towards that, but it's just a phrase if we're not looking at how we're going to get there. Does that make sense? And so the reason we say, you heard me say this last week, glorify God and advance the gospel, is that's what we were built for. We were built for God's glory, not to be good people, not to do good things, but in doing things, bringing God glory. That's why we exist, and the best representation of that is Jesus and what he did on the cross and his resurrection power that's now on us. And so that's why we talk about Jesus every week, because through advancing the gospel, teaching people about Jesus, them getting freedom from sin and telling others, that's how God gets glory. Make sense? So last week we talked about our first two core values. Does anybody remember what they are? Yeah, I made a huge impact on you guys last week, right? Authentic community and equipping, as in equipping the saints. And we talked about how those two things go together. So let me give you, since there's quite a few people that weren't here last week, and last week was an important sermon on our church, let me give you a shortish recap of what we did last week. So what we did is we were in Acts 2, at the very end of the chapter, and we looked at the early church. Like, it was one of those passages that defines us as a church. We looked at what the church did early on, right after the Holy Spirit came down and they started preaching the gospel, calling people to repentance, what that looked like. And we pulled out eight things from that we can learn from the early church. Now, we're not going to go through all eight, but I want to give you a few of them today. I said eight things, and Ronnie looks at his watch like, eight things? No, I'm just kidding, dude. Eight things. But the first and foremost, what they did in the early church is they preached the gospel. Right, they told people about Jesus, because that's where the power is found. The power of salvation is in Christ alone. And so preaching that is what leads people to salvation. So they preached it over and over. So I'll just tell you, if you're new here today, or if you've been coming for a while, I hope you don't get sick of hearing Jesus' name or hearing us talk about the gospel, because we're going to talk about it over and over and over again. Because you know what? We're not good enough to save people. Jesus is good enough to save people. We don't have good enough lives to be good enough to lead people to Christ, but we tell them the gospel and Jesus saves. And so over and over and over, that's what we're going to talk about. Everything comes back to Jesus. It's the whole story of the Bible, right? Count on it every single week. The second thing they did is they worshiped at the temple, or like they went to church together, corporate worship, but they also worshiped in homes. Because that's what we pattern our church after. Man, it's important for us to get together like this, isn't it? To pray as a big group, to be together, to hear the word preached, to experience that awesome worship. But in the long run, we need to hear Jesus' name other than just here. We need to be getting together in homes. Because here's the deal. You can't grow enough just coming to church once a week. Because you can come in here, we'll preach the gospel, I promise you that, we'll preach God's word, and you can feel convicted and stirred and the Spirit move. But if you don't know what to do with that, how to move forward with that, it doesn't do very much good in the long run, does it? You know that you need a savior. You know you need to change. But then, like, how do I actually change? That doesn't happen from this room. That happens when we get together once a week in people's homes and we talk about how we actually live out this life. We get together and we pray together. They prayed in the early church. They ate together. Man, it's important to sit down and have meals. We talked about it last week. Jesus ate meals with people constantly. Why? Because something happens around food when you're together laughing and talking and sharing stories and bonding together, right? So they prayed together. They worshiped together. They ate together. Guys, that has to happen. They got in the Word together. We have to get in the Word and learn how to actually live out this thing we call Christianity. Where we talk about equipping the saints. For you, authentic community leads to equipping, because in that, you learn how to pray with people. You learn how to pray for. You learn how to be prayed for. right? You learn how to have a conversation around the gospel that's not like a presentation, but like, God freed me from this, and he can free you from this. And you learn how to have those conversations and to repent and call other people to repentance in small groups, in homes. That's why it's so vital. And so I made a bold statement last week, and I even told some new people, I'm not talking to you if this is your first week here, right, or your second week here, but if you become a part of who we are and you're not in a life group, you're not really a part of us. You're an attender, right? And we want you to be a part. And it's, if you're checking us out and you're trying to figure out if this is your family, that's fantastic. But if you really want to be a part of what God's doing, like in the early church, it's here and there. And we don't ask a lot of you, right? There's no Sunday night worship and Wednesday night worship and all that. It's Sunday morning and meet in somebody's home once a week so we learn how to live this thing out together, because we were never meant to do this thing alone. We're not good enough to do it alone. We need Christ and we need each other. So they worshiped at the temple and at home. Three, they had the power of the Holy Spirit resting on them, right? In case you didn't know this, God is three persons. One God, three persons, right? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But as Baptists, which is my background and a lot of us, we don't ever talk about the Holy Spirit. But I said this last week, but Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go so the Holy Spirit can come, because Jesus can only be with one person at a time. The Holy Spirit is with all of us all the time, giving us power. That's where our power comes from. Somebody gets saved, it's because through Jesus' power, through the Holy Spirit, they were saved. If somebody's stirred to conviction towards God, it's because the Holy Spirit is convicting them. If we see prayers answered, it's because the Holy Spirit gave the power for those prayers to be answered through God, through Jesus being resurrected, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. That power is now resting on us, and we forget about him, and we don't pray to him. And so we have to be a church that prays that the Holy Spirit's power would fall, right? I'm not talking about speaking in tongues and all that stuff we can get into. All that stuff's important too, but I'm just talking about trusting God to do the work that he promised that he'll do. We'll talk about that more. A couple more from the early church, and then we'll move on to today's message. They were radically generous. Radically generous. No one in the church had needs because the church was taking care of each other. We talked about that last week. We're not talking about paying a cell phone bill. Like, that stuff's important, right? We need our cell phones. But like, nobody went hungry, and people had shelter, and they had clothes for their kids because the church took care of each other. I mean, doesn't that sound good? It's because they said to God, my whole life is yours. My time, my resources, my gifts, it's all yours. God, you gave them all to me. I'm just saying, having an open hand. Guys, when we talk about radical generosity, God is not asking you to give all your money to this church, right? Or to his kingdom. But God's saying, I want you to have an open hand with me. You know why? Because there's freedom found there. Believing that your money is going to protect you or save you or make you okay is a lie that the enemy just holds a tight grip, especially in America. America is the richest country that ever existed, and it's one of the most depressed countries that ever existed. Wealth and money do not make you happy. They strangle you to death, and God wants you to take your hands off of it and say, here, because joy is found in him. I said this last week, I'll say it again. It's obvious this church is not after your money, right? Look around. We're not after your money. Nobody gets paid here. All of our money goes to missions for people in the church. We've helped people in the church that couldn't pay bills, for people in the community that need to eat, for international missions. We're going to Mexico. We're going to talk about that in a minute, to spread the gospel there so we can have scholarships for people who want to go on international missions. That's where your money goes. I'm not calling you to give because we want your money, because there's freedom found there. And I told you, man, money used to have a stranglehold on my life. And when I finally let go and said, God, it's yours. Take whatever you want. I have so much joy now. God's turned me into a generous man. I can get so much more generous. But the times I was generous in my past was actually pride. I wanted people to know I was generous. And now I just have an open hand with God. And there's so much joy found there because Christ is found there. He showered you with riches of his grace. Now give back to him, and I promise you he will bless you and he'll bless this church, whether in this life or the next. We have to have an open hand with God. I mean, I don't even have time for this, but we'll go into point five. They saw fruit in the early church. They saw God working. They saw, like, they labored for the sake of Christ, and they saw things happen. They saw people being saved and people being baptized, and the church was being built. Why? Because they had open hands with God and said, God, here, we'll follow your commands. We'll do what you ask, and God was moving with power. And the amazing thing about our God, I talked about this last week in John 15, Christ says, follow my commands and I'll know that you're my disciples. God gives us his commands because he loves us and he knows how this world is supposed to work and how he made it to work. And following him isn't because God likes to tell us what to do. He wants it for our joy. Like, the point of us following Jesus is not for joy, right? The point is to glorify God. But our God's so good, he says, in that you follow me and you follow my commandments, I'm going to give you joy and I'm going to give it to you abundantly. Because that's what we're built for. A relationship with God is good. It is supposed to bring us joy. We don't do these things out of just because we have to or to get something from God. We do these things because we've already gotten everything from God, and now we do it out of love. That's what they were doing in the early church, and God was working in absolutely incredible ways. Through authentic community, the preaching of God's word, the saints were equipped to do the work of the ministry, and they were sent out of the church to go spread the gospel far and wide. That's what we're talking about today, church. So if our first two core values are authentic community and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, then let's look at our third core value, sending. If you haven't turned to Matthew 28, go ahead and turn there. Acts 2, I said this last week, Acts 2 is one of those passages that defines us as a church. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, is one of those passages that define us as a church. It's called the Great Commission. And so what's going on in this passage is at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has come, he's lived his perfect life, he's died, he's been resurrected, and he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. This is one of the last things that Jesus says in the Bible. And this is where we're going to start today. So look at Matthew 28, 18, with some of Jesus' last words. 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Okay, so in that passage, there's one main commandment. There's other things there, but there's one main commandment that Jesus gives. What is it? The point of the passage. What was that? Go and do what? Make disciples, right? The point of the passage, Jesus is saying, all authority has been given to me, so go and make disciples of what? All nations. And so if we look at this passage, I think there's three things that we can see in here that empower us to make disciples, that is showing us how to make disciples. So do me a favor, let's look at the first one. Let's look at verse 18 one more time. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus clearly states here that he has authority, that he has power over the church. He's saying here that I'm God and I have the authority to do this. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Jesus saying, I have the authority. And so I've talked to so many people who are afraid to go out and share the gospel with people. They're afraid to talk about it, to try to lead people to Christ. Verse 18 should take that pressure off of you. Like I said before, you don't save people. Right? It's not your clever words or your perfect presentation. It's you pouring out your life for the sake of other people like Jesus did and then trusting him with the rest. He's the authority. He has the power. We pray for him to be with us. I don't have time to share the story this week, but in a sermon 5 or 6 sermons ago, I shared a story of when I shared the gospel with someone and I felt like I utterly failed at it. I regretted it for a decade how badly I shared the gospel with someone who was an atheist. And come to find out, 13, 14 years later, I talked to this person. And he told me, I've never forgotten that conversation. I can't let go of Jesus. I can't let go of the gospel because of the things you said that day. And I blew it. Because it's not about my clever words. Jesus would not let, the Holy Spirit was working in him and would not let him let go of my insufficient words. So you just go out and you share your life. And that's why we say life group's so important. You learn to talk in a normal way about your relationship with Christ and other people's relationship with Christ. And you just be honest with people. Relational evangelism is what I call that. You just share the gospel relationally and God will do the work. Don't put the pressure on yourself. Let God save. You just need to open your mouth and trust him. All right, so then the first way that we make disciples of Christ is by trusting Jesus' power to save. Number two, look at verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the second way we make disciples is by baptizing them in God's name. Let me ask you something. Do you think the point that Jesus is making is how important it is to baptize people? Because does baptism save people? So when Jesus says, go and make disciples and baptize them, what is he saying? He's saying, go share the gospel with them. Lead them to me. See that they're saved and then baptize them. This is about salvation. This is about going and making disciples, making followers of Christ. And then after they've been saved, baptizing them into the family, right? We talk about this over and over. Baptism does not save you. It's a representation, a public representation of what Christ has done for you. He's made you new. Man, you went down a spiritually dead person and you came up alive. The old is gone, the new has come. That's what baptism represents. And he's saying, go to all nations and tell people about Jesus Christ so they can be baptized into the family of God. And that's why we're so passionate about going. Going wherever God calls us, to all nations. Let me give you some stats. We'll start with Springfield because that's our main focus in this church, North Springfield. Springfield in the city limits, there's about 180,000 people, right? That doesn't count the metro area. That's probably up over a million. Just in Springfield. Do you know how many people in Springfield claim no religious affiliation and say they're not religious? 50% of the people in Springfield say they're not religious. 50%. This is considered one of the most churched areas around. Biblical knowledge off the charts when other cities in the nation. And half the people may or may not know Christ. On any given Sunday, only 17 to 20% of people in Springfield are in a church. 80 to 83% of people are at home on any given Sunday, not plugged into a community, not plugged into the community of God. Now, for those of you that were with us when we handed out flyers in Tom Watkins' neighborhood, the neighborhood that we're in right now, for VBS or the basketball camp or for the launch of the church, right? There's quite a few in here that helped us hand out flyers. Do you think for the neighborhood that we're trying to reach, the 2,300, 2,400 homes in this area, do you think those numbers are accurate for this neighborhood? Someone said yes because they think I'm saying on the good side, right? Other people are shaking their head no. It's far worse than that. We went and talked to people. Almost nobody was in church. And the only people that we actually found that were consistently in church were older people that had lived in this community for 30 years, and there's not a lot of them left, right? It's incredibly unreached. People think of all the huge churches on the south side of town and all that they're doing, but this is an area that's almost completely ignored. There's a bunch of little churches that have been around for 40, 50 years, are faithful to God with faithful followers, but they don't know how to reach the community anymore. They'll admit that they don't know how to reach the community anymore, even though they passionately want to, some of them. And so we need a new churches to come in here and reach the completely unreached. And I'll be honest with you guys, God's given us a difficult task. We're going to be a poor church in a poor neighborhood trying to reach people in a very transient neighborhood, which means people come and go all the time. That's who we are, right? So we're going to have some people that come in here that haven't been to church in forever, and we've had a bunch of those people come in. Haven't been to church in forever, were nervous about coming, didn't want to be here, and you know what? They love it. Because we all know we're all broken. We're all messed up. We all need Jesus. It doesn't matter where you came from. That's the beauty of the gospel. It's for everyone from everywhere. We come together and Jesus is enough. But we're also going to see people come in here. I've seen this happen a dozen times already, that come for 3 or 4 weeks and they love it, and then they're gone. And we contact them, and they don't call us back. They don't email us back. Why? Because a lot of people in this neighborhood, and a lot of you probably in this room, are just trying to get by. Man, it's survival mode. Just trying to get from one day to the next. Who knows what next month's going to look like? I've got to make it today. And so a lot of times when that happens, survival is based off today, and church isn't always the highest priority. And you know what we need to do, church? We need to love them anyway. We need to be here. I've said this before. To really make an impact in this community, it's going to take a generation. Because there's people in this neighborhood that have felt like the church has burned them or not been there for them, and they want nothing to do with the church. And so what we have to do is be around over and over and over again, letting them know that we're not just coming into this community, we're a part of this community, that we love you, that we're here. Whether you come to our church ever or not, we love you. And in that, being around over and over and over and building relationships, eventually we'll get to the point where we are making disciples, baptizing them, leading them to Christ. That's the long-term goal. It's not a short-term goal, and it's not easy. But this is where the work of the ministry is. Do you see that? Like, we're standing in a mission field. Do you want to join us in that? I hope that you will. So this is how we're going to do that moving forward. The school and Tom Walker's neighborhood are our mission field, right? I've said this before. We can't spread ourselves too thin. We're a small church without a lot of money, with a lot of people, with everybody that volunteers. If we try to do everything that we hear that needs to be done on this side of town, we'll drown. We'll do a bunch of things poorly, and we won't see any fruit of our labor, right? So we're focused in on what we can do. We can be here for Williams Elementary School, which is a conduit to the rest of the community in Tom Wonka's neighborhood. We can do things outside of that, but if you ask me to do something outside of that, what will probably happen, I'll say, that's a really great idea. If you want to lead that and get a few people from the church to follow you in that and help you with that, then go. I am on board. We will be praying for you. Other than that, it has to be focused because we can love this community well, and we can love this school well, if that's what we're focused on. Does that make sense? I've had people come up to me with some great ideas of things I want to do, but we can't. I will break our church if we try to spread out too much, because we can't do everything. So here's what we're doing moving forward. Jennifer Kofer, I love you, Jennifer, who's head of our children's ministry right now, has just given her life to this church, everything she's got to this church, came up to me and had a great idea. So starting next school year, Jennifer is going to be our Williams liaison. She's going to communicate with the principals, with the teachers. She's going to plan things. Because as the church has grown and as the needs of the church have grown, I've had less and less time to focus on planning and making sure everything works with the school. Because they're really busy too, right? It's hard to keep in constant communication with them. So she's going to be dedicated to that. She's a teacher. She said, like, I'm a teacher. I understand what teachers go through. She's like, I'd love to just love the church and plan things and organize things and talk about how we can serve the school. Because we don't want to just plan events for the school. We want to help them where they actually need help. Does that make sense? And so she's going to be our liaison here going forward. She's going to organize everything for the school. I couldn't be more pumped about that, because we've done a lot of great things, but we could do better. We could love them more. I've said this before. If in 5 years this school doesn't say, I have no idea what we'd do without Freshwater Church, then we haven't done our job, right? We have to love them so well and serve them so well. They have no idea what they'd do without us. And we've worked towards that. And they actually had some staff changes this year, and we're a new church, which made it difficult with communication to make sure everything's in line. But they're so pumped about a relationship. They're like, man, now we've got everything locked down. We can hit next semester running. And Jennifer and the people of the Williams Elementary are going to make that happen. So that's a place where you can get involved, and we're going to see a lot of things moving next semester. Sorry for those of you that are leaving that can't engage, and I know you want to. But it's going to move like crazy. And then Tom Watkins Neighborhood. Last week I said we need some people to lead outreach. Almost all of our outreach, almost all of our community events are going to be in this area, right? And that's something else that I needed help with. I'm not really a detail-oriented guy. I need somebody to help plan those. And I can get up here and motivate, and I can say, you all are going to be there, every one of you. Get over there. I can do that. But actually planning like everything that's needed and all the things we're going to do, man, if it's up to me to do that, it's just not going to be that efficient. I had two people step up last week and say, I'll do that. I'll help lead that. I'm good at that. I even do that at my job. I won't give you their names yet. We'll announce that soon, because I haven't had a chance to sit down with them yet like I did with Jennifer. But people are stepping up, and I said, this is the need. Can somebody step up? People stepped up. It was beautiful. And so we're going to get really intentional about how we reach this neighborhood. We already have been, but we're going to get even better about it starting through this summer into next semester. I can't wait. Will you join us in that? And then lastly, it said, go to make disciples of what? All nations. I mean, I know there's churches out there that focus just on the community or really focused on missions everywhere. But, you know, in Acts, it says, go here and there, go everywhere, right? We're supposed to go everywhere. And I don't know if you guys know this, but do you know there's 6,000 people groups in the world who don't know the gospel, who don't know Jesus Christ? That's estimated to be between 1 billion and 2 billion people that have no access to the gospel. That means they haven't heard it consistently, may have never even heard Jesus' name, no church, and either no believers or very few believers where they have almost no impact because there's so few of them. 6,000. Here's what I also know, that Jesus says that he's not returning till every tribe, every tongue, and every nation has heard the gospel. And so as our church, our little small church, our goal is to work so hard that Jesus comes back. I'm not saying we can do that, right? I don't know when Jesus is coming back. Don't listen to all those theories out there about earthquakes and wars. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. Jesus said, only the Father knows. I don't know. So don't buy into all that stuff like knowing. Every generation has thought they knew that Jesus was coming back and saw all the signs. Everyone for 2,000 years. We may be the generation. What we need to know is we need to go as hard and as fast as we possibly can telling people about the gospel to try to make that day come sooner. Everything else doesn't matter. Do you realize that? Is Jesus coming back? If you believe that, if you're one of those conspiracy theorists that just believe that the signs are lining up and he's coming back in 5 years, God bless you. Go on international missions. That's what changes things, isn't it? Because all the talk doesn't matter if we're not proclaiming the gospel. If you're passionate and you think he's coming back, we've only got this much time left. We've got to go. And so we're going to go. So we prayed for a few months about an international partnership, and one came up in Mexico. It's in an area in Mexico called Puebla. It's the state of Puebla. And God is moving in Puebla. Like, people are getting saved like crazy in the southern part of Puebla. But up in the mountains in the north, there's a church there that has started 3 church, is in the process of trying to start 7 more. Now, keep in mind, these are home churches, right? Small churches. God is moving like crazy, and they have no help. They have no one coming alongside them in their area or international missions. And so they came to us and said, would you partner with this church? It's difficult. It's up in the mountains. You got to have a strong stomach, and you may have to do some hiking because they're up in the mountains. We had to go reach these people. Some of them are isolated. Will you go? Oh, yeah, we'll go. We'll go. And so in June 22nd, there's five of us going to Mexico, to Pueblo, Mexico, up into the mountains to try to help take the gospel to these people. And it's so funny. None of them are here today. The Andersons, Daniel and David, and then the Trokies, Ethan and Julia, we're going to go on a vision trip. Because here's what we're really passionate about at this church. We are not going to Mexico to try to plant American churches. How dumb is that? We need Mexican churches led by Mexican people with Mexican pastors who know how to reach Mexican people, right? So we're not going there to change things. We're going to jump on board and saying, how can we help and serve and love you? So if that's leading conferences, we'll do that. If that's painting houses, we'll do that. Man, in Pueblo right now, a lot of the mission trips are going and setting appointments door to door. They're going, setting appointments and just knocking on people's doors, walking in. People are hearing the gospel for the first time and they're giving their lives to Jesus. That's maybe what we're going to do. If that makes you nervous, we'll train you to do that. Don't worry. We're not going to just say, well, go, good luck, share the gospel with a bunch of people in their house. No, we're going to go. And what's going on there is there's this mix of ancestor worship, like Aztec animist, like still all the way back to the times of the Aztec worship there. And then there's like a messed up Catholicism there that is not really Catholicism. And they take all these things, it's called syncretism. They take all these religions and they put them together just to try to cover their bases. It's like ancient Rome. We'll just, every god that could be out there, we'll just take them all and make our little religion. They don't know Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. We have to go tell them that. And so we're going to go. And so if you're interested in international missions, in the fall, we want to take another trip. I've had a couple of you already come up and say you'd like to go. This first trip, I wanted to take people who could lead next time. I might not be able to go next time. So people who have done missions, have experienced missions, who now know how to lead missions, we ask them to go first. But the next trip, any of you can go. The first four or five people that sign up to go, you can go. And so we're going to figure out what it is we're going to do this time, and then we're going to come back, we're going to talk about it, we're going to pray about it, and then we're going to go. I want to go next fall. I want to go early next year. I want to go next spring, as often as we can go. And we, like I said before, we're working on a scholarship program to help pay at least some of that cost. And the fact of the matter is God gave us Mexico. For a poor church, that's about the perfect spot. We can get cheap flights and get there in 3 hours, man. Amen to that. At Freshwater and Bolivar, he sent us to India and like in the middle of Africa. It took like 18 hours to get to Africa and like 27 to get to India. I'm glad we didn't get called there. I love India, but man, that's expensive and it takes forever to get there. We're going to Mexico, and that's a blessing to God for a new church. So if you have interest in that, come talk to me. There's not a big hurry. Take time. Pray about it. But eventually, I'd love every single person to go. Missionaries aren't those people. It's you and me. Right? So whether you do missions here or missions internationally, doesn't make you a better Christian either way. But the fact of the matter is, we need to go. All right, and then the last point about how to make disciples in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Because you've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again. And then I'll say it again after this someday. Getting saved is the easy part. God rescues you. You accept his call through faith, and you're saved. Learning how to actually live out God's commands and live in obedience is extremely hard. We don't have to hide from that, right? If you've had sin that's owned you your whole life, or you have a dark past or something you can't let go, walking out of that into the fullness of life that Christ promises is hard. Yeah, we've been freed from the slavery of sin, but figuring out how to walk out of that slavery is extremely difficult, right? And so that's why we need each other to do that, to walk out of those things, to call each other out, to support, to pray, all of those things so we can experience what God has for us. And you know how that happens? Through getting involved with authentic community, where you're real and you're honest. Our life groups are real. People talk about sin. They talk about their struggles. You don't pretend in our life groups. If you pretend, you need to be in another church because this is not a church to pretend in. We're all broken. We're all messed up. We have all got sins. Your pastor has things that I struggle with, right? I need other people to pour into me. I need the gospel just as much as you do. You all need it. And in life group, we don't pretend. We don't do that church pretend thing like we got everything together. Some of your marriages are a mess. Some of your faiths are a mess. That's okay. Today's the day that you can start, get involved with authentic community. You know what it's going to do? It's going to equip you to be able to handle and deal with those things through God's word that we're in every week. You learn how to walk through those things. You learn how to walk out of those things. And if it seems like you're never coming out of it, you have people there at least to pray with you and to be with you and to love you. And what happens when you go in authentic community and you start being equipped? You start talking about the gospel, relating in the gospel. You start praying for each other. You start learning how to pray because you've never prayed before, but in life group you do. You start praying for people. Then you feel equipped to go out and talk with your friends and with your family and with people in the neighborhood, maybe even Mexico, and all of a sudden you're one of those people being sent, and then people come to know Christ, right? They get saved, and then what happens? We take those people, they get saved, and we plug them back into authentic community with us so that they can be equipped. Do you see how this is going? That's the mission of our church. It's a big circle. Authentic community leads to equipping, leads to sending. We come right back to authentic community, plug people back in, and we just keep moving forward, and we build the circle of Christ and his kingdom and expand it until the day he returns. That's why we're here. That's what we do. So my question is, will you get involved in that? Will you jump in with us and get involved in all that God is doing? So let me give you a few ways you can do that. Last week we talked about a lot of these. But I want you to get out your Connect cards, and if it's something that you think that you want to get involved in our church and become a part of our family, then let me know. Let me run through these quickly. We talked about this last week, so I won't spend too much time. We need people to help out in His Kids. Three or four or five of you signed up last week. We're going to get all that together and organize. God bless you for signing up. Right? It's one of the most difficult ministries a new church has. And people like Jennifer and Melissa and Jessica have been working their tails off to make this happen. And you know what's happening in there? Last time we baptized, two kids got saved. This time, three kids have signed up to get saved or to get baptized because they've been saved. I mean, amen to that. I mean, God is working back in His Kids. You know why? Because these ladies make sure that your kids hear the gospel every single week. And I talked about this last week. If you're not saved by the time you're 18, there's a 90% chance you'll never be saved. Now, God can blow up any kind of statistic, right? That's why we preach the gospel here every week. But that's just in the nation. That's the numbers. And so they're doing gospel work back there. I'm going to ask you to pray carefully if God's asking you to go back there and serve. I'm not telling you have to be a teacher. We need teachers. And what they teach is simple. It's not complicated, and you're empowered to do it. We need people to say, you know what? I can step up, and I can help. I can serve once a month, once every month and a half, once every 2 months, whatever you can do. Because this week, we actually had to go to one room because we lost some volunteers because they're leaving. We need some more volunteers for people to step up and say, you know what? I can fill those gaps. I can fill in. Whether you feel called to it or not, if it's your gifting or not, we need to step up and serve. I said this last week. On the weeks that I don't preach, and with Ronnie leaving, I don't know if that's ever going to happen ever again, but the weeks that I don't preach, I'll go back and serve in the kids' ministry if we need help because it's a need in the church. So if you could step up, I think if we just have a few more people step up, we can go back to two rooms, I think. I don't want to speak for the children's ministry team, but Melissa's bobbing her head yes and doing like this. We just need two or three, four more committed people to say, yeah, I can commit to that. And then as I said last week, if you hate missing the sermon, just then recruit heavily for our church. We'll go to two services and you'll always be able to go to one. You can attend one and serve at the other. No problem, right? Okay, so we need people to serve in kids' ministry. That's our number one need right now. And God is moving there probably more than he's moving anywhere else right now. And so get involved, teach kids the gospel, and see the fruit of your labor. It's unbelievable. Two, these will be faster. The welcome team. Man, if you want to stand at the door and say hi to people, make them feel welcome, work at the Connect table, we're going to start having roamers, people that go around, find new people, show them where to go. Sign up for the welcome team. You can do that on your Connect card, write welcome team with your very clearly written email address or phone number. One letter, it's gone. We don't got you anymore. You sign that, and you can sign that, or you can sign up at the Connect table. We need people for the tech team. We actually had somebody step up. Jonathan stepped up and said he'd be part of the tech team to help make this happen, because if Cornelius gets sick, man, we're in big trouble. we're in big trouble. I'm going to be just yelling this week, and the worship team's going to be yelling over the... So Jonathan stepped up, and he said he could help, and they could probably use a couple more people to say, I could help with that. If you want to do worship, man, write on your Connect card or at the back table, worship. Get in a life group. Get in a life group. That's. I know you're busy, and I know you have things going on, and I've actually talked to a couple people who can't meet Sunday night or Wednesday night. We'll try to figure something else out, right? And I know that there's issues like that, but that's where our church really is found. That's the heart of our church. This is not the heart of our church. Life together is the heart of our church, and it's not always perfect, and it's not always easy, but it's good, and it's what God's called us to be a community. Get in a life group. Membership class. If you've been coming here for a while and it's time, you're ready to jump in and be part of the family, we take membership pretty seriously here. We're going to take it much more seriously moving forward now that we're getting everything locked down. We're going to expect a lot out of members to be involved, to be engaged, to be in life groups, to be serving, to be doing outreach. And so if you'd like to be a part of the membership here, basically what you're saying is you're committing to the church and us as elders and leaders are committing to you, like you to hold me accountable and I'm to hold you accountable for the sake of God's glory and for the sake of your faith. If you want to dive in and say, yeah, I think I want to be part of the family, on June 1st and June 8th, we're doing a class at the Reynolds House. They're going to provide pizza, and it's probably going to be a couple hours each week, 2 or 3 hours, and we're just going to walk through our doctrine, what we believe, why we believe it, where we're going, and to see if you want to be on board. And so if you'd like to become a member here, and I'm going to say you need to become a member somewhere if you're a faithful Christian. Whether it's here or somewhere else, you need to find a family you can be a part of. I would love for it to be here, but if you don't feel like God's calling you here, then leave here immediately and find a church that preaches the gospel, that loves Jesus, that you can plug into and be a part of, because you're not supposed to do this alone. And I can't hold you accountable, as Scripture clearly calls me to, unless I know that you're committed. Unless you're family, I can't help lead you in the way that God's called us to. And then a couple more things. We're going to have a class called How to Study the Bible. 90% of Christians I come across do not know how to hear from God by just reading his word. They want books to try to enlighten Scripture because they can't read it for themselves and hear from God and feel God stirring in their hearts. If you're that person, do not feel like you're out on an island. Like, everybody at church wants to be quiet about that. But most people I found don't really know how to engage God in his word. That's okay. That's a failure of the church, but we're committed to not failing you in this way. So if you want to learn more, how to go deeper into God's word, learn more, and we'll talk about prayer too, how to pray and hear from God, then sign up for that class. We're going to have it in June. I don't have a date yet because I need to know how many people are signing up for how big of a space we're going to need. We may do it in a home, or we may do it somewhere else. So if you'd like to be a part of How to Study the Bible class, or even if you'd like to be part of like the teaching team and try to learn how to teach, we can talk about that. Write How to Study the Bible and your email address, or you can sign up at the back table. Two more things. Baptism. We've already had 3 kids sign up for baptism. Praise God for that. I cannot wait to baptize them. I don't even know where we're going to do it. A river, you know, a pool in Bolivar. We're going to do it somewhere. We're going to do it next month. For the people that sign up, I'm going to talk to the families. We're going to find a date that all the families can be there, and we're going to do it wherever we can. And so if you'd like to be baptized, Scripture is clear that after you're saved, you need to be baptized. It's a public proclamation of what God has done in your life, and it's vitally important. Jesus himself was baptized. If you're a believer and haven't been baptized, it's the time. Right then it said, make disciples and baptize. He didn't say wait 6 years and then baptize them later. If you haven't been baptized and you're a believer, I'd love to talk with you about that. Maybe your time has come. And then lastly, guys, I said this before, so I won't spend much time on it. We need families to commit to the church financially. And I don't mean because you feel guilty this week because you haven't given, and so you dropped $20 in the offering plate. We'll take that, but that's not the point of it all. That's not the point at all. The point is your freedom and your worship of God. We're not in desperate need for money right now. We're not doing a building project. I'm not trying to recruit you to something. All those things are fine if we need those things, right? Someday we may need a building, and that's okay. We're saying give for the sake of your freedom and investing in our church so God can do amazing things. So when partnerships in Mexico or in the neighborhood or families need help in here, we can take care of each other's needs. Will you commit financially to the church and start experiencing the blessing and the joy that God has for you in that? So we're about to do something a little bit different here in a second. We're gonna come up and pray for people. But during the second song, the offering bucket is gonna be passed around. Listen to me. I said this last week, but some of you weren't here. I don't see what anyone gives. I don't wanna see what anyone gives because it has nothing to do with the amount. Do you understand that? If you have just a little, then give just a little. If you have an abundance, then give in abundance. The point is you're generous back to God. That's the point. Right now, only 13 families give in our church. 13 are supporting all the rest of us. Will you jump in and be one of those families, increase that number, and just see how God rains his blessings down on us, church? All right, let me pray real quickly, and then stay there, worship team. We're going to do something a little different today. God, we love you. I thank you so much for the gospel. I thank you so much, Jesus, that your word and what you did and your truth renews and saves and redeems and reconciles and someday will glorify us in heaven. I thank you that you've purchased eternity for us. I pray that we could be focused on eternity, knowing that all of this is just short term. But while we are here, we do everything we possibly can to build your kingdom and to spread your gospel so that we can bring you glory. God, I pray today through the power of the Holy Spirit that you'd stir in your people's hearts, and wherever they need to get involved or serve or give outreach or give their money or whatever they need to do to experience you, God, in a more full way and be a part of this family, I pray that you'd stir in their heart and for them to get involved in whatever that looks like. God, for the newer people here and today, God, I thank you that they're here. I pray that you'd stir in their heart and let them know if this is the place for them or somewhere else is the place for them. I pray that you'd find them a home to engage in and to be a part of your story that we get to be involved with. God, I thank you so much for your word. In a world that so much wants to know about where we're going and why we're going, and even with Christians want to know your will, that for most things we can just look in your word and know that your words are right there. And God, I thank you for that. God, you've been so faithful to us. We pray that you continue to be huge for our little church plant and help us through your power and for your glory, see the fruit of our labor and see you do amazing, incredible, unexplainable things in this church, at Williams Elementary School, in Tom Watkins' neighborhood, in our nation, and in Mexico, and throughout the world. God, we love you. Amen.